Are you ready to go on a journey with me? The journey. Here we are. You are here. Churches are filled throughout the country. People have come to celebrate the birth of Jesus. No matter where you stand on that, the fact is it's an event that took place, and it's something we celebrate. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is Christmas Eve, and what a week it has been. It has been a week. You guys know all about it, preparing for later tonight and tomorrow throughout the whole day, celebrating. But we are here to celebrate the greatest event in human history. Never was there an event like this, and never shall there be an event like this, and there will be never again a Christmas on 12/25/2025. So everything is unique tonight, but the birth of Jesus is the greatest event in human history. Why do we say that? The long-awaited birth of the Messiah. The Gentiles or the non-believers were not looking forward to this. They knew nothing about it. But the Jew was looking forward to this. It's in their text. It's in their writings that the Messiah would come. So the Jews were looking for a Messiah. The pagan world, the non-religious world, they didn't care. They were serving their own gods. But they were waiting, the Jew, for the Messiah, Jesus, as we know him tonight, and as it was his name given to Mary, and we'll touch on that a little bit. Emmanuel, God with us. Wow. God with us. So let's go on this journey. The reason for the journey is not necessary to validate the Bible, because the Bible doesn't need any validation. It's the Word of God. But as we go on this journey this evening, we will discover that the Bible is true. As we continue on the journey tonight, we can discover that the Bible is reliable. For the younger generation, if you're looking for purpose and reason, get to the Bible. For the older generation, if you need comfort, get to the Bible. So the Bible is real, and the Bible is in fashion. It's not only written for then, for tomorrow, but so applicable for now. So that's why we're going to go on this journey, not to validate the Bible, but to present to you that you can have confidence in the Bible. And of course, on this journey, most importantly, to appreciate what God has done for mankind. What no one else has done for mankind, but only God. And if your stance is, I don't believe in God, may I try and convince you tonight that there is a God? If you're not too sure if God is worthwhile of your time, may I present to you, give him a chance. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's begin with this journey. When did this journey begin? Well, to find the origin of this journey is going to be very difficult. Because this journey goes way back in time. As a matter of fact, this journey goes back before time was. What was before time was? Think about it. You and I only know time. That's all we know. But was there something before time? Yes, God. Because God is not dictated to by time. So the journey goes way back before time began. As a matter of fact, this journey was mapped out before the earth or any created being existed. So before there was the earth, before there was the heavens, before there was the world, before there was people, the journey was mapped out already. Amazing. So before anything came into existence, the journey was mapped out. So we can come to the conclusion, wow, it sounds like sci-fi stuff. Yeah, it is. It's something that goes beyond our understanding. But let's try and bring it to the age and the approximate date, to a time when you and I can understand it maybe a little bit better, because we operate in time. That's what we can comprehend. That's what we can understand. Time. So if we're going to go back to time as it had been mapped out before time had begun, but we bring it into a time when we can understand it a little bit better, we go to the 8th century BCE, before the Common Era. In 8 BCE, there was a guy. In the Bible, he's called a prophet, a man. A guy that God had used to pen down certain things. He actually wrote a book. 700 years before the miracle that we're going to see later ever happened. 700 years before the greatest event in human history took place. Some say 7, some 8, some 6. A prophecy made about a place. And that's where we will briefly look at that place tonight, because what do you tell the people at Christmas or Christmas Eve? We've heard it for so many years. For some, tonight may be the first time you're in a church. For some, it might be the first time you hear about this place that I'm going to refer to. But the place is real. A prophecy about a place, a village. And then the question that went through my mind and has been in my mind for long ago, and then I realized that's why. Why this village? Why? We understand it as we go through the Word of God. And as we get to Micah 5 verse 2, the prophet that wrote 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, he says, O Bethlehem Ephrata, O Bethlehem, the house of bread, Ephrata, fruitfulness. But the amazing thing is there were two Bethlehems. One in Galilee and one in Judea. And this one, O Bethlehem Ephrata, is to the Judea Bethlehem. You are but a small Judean village. And when the miracle took place, there may have been about 1,000 people in the village. It's almost like Three Rivers and Bonsville and Thorndike. Just small little villages. Yet you will be the birthplace of my king. God speaking to the prophet and the prophet projecting or writing it down. You will be the birthplace of my king. But notice the terminology, please. Jesus, in reality, wasn't born. He was given to us. Yes, he took upon himself the form of man, absolutely. But notice what it says. Who is alive from where? There's going to be a birth of my king, but he's alive from where? You see the sci-fi stuff here? Who is alive from everlasting ages past. So now let's shoot quickly 700 years ahead, and we get to Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 to 2. Jesus was born where? Oh, but that was said 700 years ago. Boom, the light went on. Yeah, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. Ephrata is missing, but it says Judea, not Galilee. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. Oh, we're not going to spend time on this grumpy old man. He's a murderer. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived. Eastern lands in Jerusalem? Well, those are the guys we kind of know as who? One, two, three. But they were from the east, and many say they were from Babylon, which is about 800 miles away from this place. But in reality, oh, let's just have the shocker. The three kings were not at Jesus' birth. They only came about 1.5 to 2 years later. So when you hear the carols and the people tell you, oh, the three kings. Oh, there were no three kings. They were just kings from the east. So if somebody tells you there were three kings, says who? They arrived in Jerusalem asking. Notice, though, Where is the newborn king of the Jews? Not of the Gentiles, not of the pagans, of a specific group of people. The king of the Jews. But what do you find so strange is where they were. Where were they, the three kings that they are called? Where were they? Oh, Nicole, just go back one slide again, please, for me. Jesus is born where? Okay, Nicole, go forward. Where are the kings? They're asking in Jerusalem, which is 6 miles away. But just remember now, you don't blame these kings for not being at the right place. All they were doing is actually following a star for 800 miles. How many of you will get the exact place? You can't even get the exact place through GPS today. Turn left. No, I can't. I'm going into a dam or pond. Turn right. No, that's a dead end. So don't be hard on these three kings, as they are referred to. Where is the newborn king? Now notice, all of a sudden, this is a newborn king. Why Bethlehem? I noticed that they saw the star as it rose 800 miles away in Babylon. And we've come to worship him. Don't you find that appropriate? Don't you think it's good for you to be here tonight? To worship him. To worship him. You see, we run about as if it's our birthday. We're just giving presents, taking presents. But very little is given to Jesus. In actual fact, it's his birthday. So I think it's appropriate to say, "Happy birthday, Jesus." We saw his star as it rose and we have come to worship him. Why Bethlehem? Think about it. Why Bethlehem? Why not Rome? Why not Greece? Why not Turkey? Why not South Africa? Why Bethlehem? Many babies were born in the promised land, but only a child born in Bethlehem qualified for consideration as the promised Messiah. And so we want to find out many things, and there's another thing to throw into the works. Well, if that's the case, and Antichrist wants to imitate the Messiah, ain't he going to be born in Bethlehem? Oh, no, that we just opened a can of worms. Why did the Lord choose Bethlehem? Well, because it was David's hometown. King David. What do you know about King David? Tell me. He killed a what? A giant. That's all we know virtually. We were taught he killed a giant, which is true. But he's a King David. King David. But there's a lineage within King David's lineage which Jesus had to come through. So it was David's hometown, a village that had enjoyed a long association with David's ancestors. And in Luke 2, verse 3, 4, and 5, notice, everyone was required at that particular time. Now we're going all the way from 700 BCE to now the birth of Jesus. And at that particular point in time, we find something happened. Everyone was required to return to his ancestral home. So if you think about it, Joseph came through the ancestral home of David. So where must Joseph go to? Bethlehem. So everyone was required to return to his ancestral home for this registration. And because Joseph was a member of the royal line, the royal line of David, the Messiah coming through the royal line of David, now he's got to go to Bethlehem. He had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, not Galilee. King David's what? His ancient home. Notice, now Joseph and Mary journeying there from the Galilean village of Nazareth. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, some translation, his betrothed wife, which is true. It was like a marriage, who obviously was pregnant by this time. Let's look at John 7:42. For the scriptures clearly state that the Messiah will be born of the royal line of David through which Joseph has come, in Bethlehem, the village where David was born. So can I ask you a question? How reliable is the Bible? And if you say, very, why aren't you reading it? Right? It's proven so successful. It's proven so accurate. And we ask the question, but if they've got, where was Joseph and Mary? In Nazareth. How far is Nazareth from Bethlehem? 80 miles? Now, come on, ladies, help me, please. He has a teenage girl. She's about 15, 16, that is pregnant, that is about to give birth. And Joseph says, honey, we got to go to Bethlehem. I've got to go register. That's what the government wants. And we've got to do it whether I like it or not. We've got to get to Bethlehem. And we've got to go register. And she says, honey, I'm pregnant. I know, honey. Suck it up, buttercup. No, he wouldn't say that. No. She's pregnant. Pregnant. I want you quickly to look at map 1. On the right-hand top corner, if you can see it, Nazareth, you see Galilee, that's where Nazareth is. You see number 1, you see Jerusalem, but 6 miles further down, you find number 2, Bethlehem. That's where they're heading. About a week's journey. Just think about it. Going from Nazareth to Bethlehem, 80 miles, 8 months into 9 months pregnant. Just think about this, guys. There were no Teslas in those days. There were no Cadillacs in those days. There were no Toyotas in those days. As a matter of fact, to be blunt, there were no limousines in those days, except if you had a lot of camels. They never even had an Uber. So what have you got left? A 2x2. And that calls your legs. Oh, you could go on a donkey. And I don't know how many of you 8-month-old pregnant ladies would love to ride on a donkey for 80 miles. Anybody want to volunteer? No? You'd rather walk? No, not one of you answer that. So that means you want to stay put. Honey, you go on your own. I'll see you later. Sure. What can go wrong on this trip? How about everything? Everything can go wrong. Where do they stop to cook? Where do they stop to eat? They can't just go to McDonald's. They can't go to Wendy's. It's a dirt road. Where do they go, man? But they arrive at Bethlehem in Luke chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Remember now, we're still on the journey. That was mapped before time began. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. Woo! She gave birth to a first child, a son. There's a first child, but some people would tell you there was the only child. She had 4 or 5 other children. She gave birth to a first child, a son. And this is why I highlighted so you can see it. She wrapped him snugly. She wrapped him as a mother, dear mother, a loving mother would do. But think, she's still about 15, 16 years old. She wrapped him snugly in what? Strips of cloth. That's important to notice, though. And laid him in a manger. And then, of course, this translation says, because there was no lodging available for him. What other translations are there about this? Instead of using the word lodging, what else can we use? The popular songs that we sing about this time, there is no room in the inn. And we think it's like one of our inns, one of our motels, right? A bed and breakfast, okay? Well, there was no bed and there was no breakfast and there was no inn. GPS was wrong. The word inn can mean room, upper room, guest room. In other words, there was no room in the guest room for him. Remember, they're all coming to register. The place was packed. So it could be a guest room in a place. It could be an upper room. Because Jesus told his disciples to go find a place where he can have the Last Supper. And that was a guest room. So it could mean different things. But then I find somebody else is interested in this journey, not by choice, but by revelation. And they're going to go on a journey. And we find that in Luke 2, verse 8 to 12. Look, that night there were shepherds staying in the field. So how many people around Joseph and Mary actually knew that this was the Messiah being born? Zippo. The night, the same, we are celebrating Jesus, but how many people are actually celebrating Jesus tonight? That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angels reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you what? Oh, look at that. Good news. But that will bring what? There's it there. Joy. By the way, I believe the key word for next year, 2026, is joy. Everybody wants to have joy. You can't have joy apart from Jesus Christ, who is the author of all joy. The Savior Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today where? Now notice, detail. Bethlehem, the city of David, Bethlehem, Ephrata. How are you going to recognize him? Remember what was highlighted in the yellow? Strips of cloth? How are these angels portraying it to the shepherds? How are they going to recognize it? Come on, shepherds, how are you going to recognize? Come on. And you will recognize him by what? The sign. What sign? A baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. Lying in a manger, a feed trough. Lying in a manger. Recognize him by the strips of cloth. And now we find that they celebrated, overwhelmed by this, and they went back to their sheep all excited. But look at Luke 2:21. Got about 5 minutes left. Now Jesus is born. And this is the journey that I want us to continue on. It's a brief journey, but it's over the span of thousands of years. But we're wrapping it up. And we're trying to just get halfway through this journey at least. But 8 days later, now Jesus is born in Bethlehem. 8 days later, the baby had to what? Attend a baby's circumcision ceremony. And you know what is so amazing about this baby's circumcision ceremony? That's where he gets his name. So his name was not given to him at birth. Where was his name given to him? 8 days later. What do? We think about the name already and give it to him as he is born. No, no. She knew about the name that the angel said she must give him, but she had to wait until the circumcision because that's the culture. He was named Jesus. Parents, come on, parents. Yes, youngsters over here, youngsters all over. How many parents would enjoy somebody telling you what to name your child? Come on, ladies, your mother-in-law, your father. We don't even want to go there. Your mother, your father? Telling you what to name your child? Mind your own business. My child. He was given the name Jesus by the angel before he was even conceived. So what do we have? Let's go through this. There was the circumcision of Jesus. This took place 8 days when he was 8 days old. A covenant of that was made between him and God as well as Abraham and God. And on the same day the child was named according to the Jewish custom, the angel had previously instructed Mary and Joseph. The second ceremony, and we don't realize this, although it's written in the Word of God, it wasn't only him that had to be circumcised, but now Mary was unclean. She couldn't participate in any Jewish rituals. In other words, she was kind of almost isolated. She couldn't be touched. Can be spoken to, but almost like a kind of isolation. And listen to this, guys. When did this purification take place? And this wasn't taking place in Bethlehem. It had to go to the temple 6 miles away. Mary had to wait quite a while, 40 days. Because the firstborn son, the waiting period is 40 days. And for you guys that have got girls as your kids, you would wait 80 days. Pay the price, baby, because of the precious cargo. Look at this. It took place 40 days after the birth of Jesus. Ordinarily, parents were supposed to bring a lamb. The sacrificial part of it, which you and I don't understand because we're Westerners, but for the Jews, this is how they operated. The parents were supposed to bring a lamb for a burnt offering, a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. But in the case of the poor, they were permitted to bring two pigeons. And guess what Joseph and Mary brought? Two pigeons. What does that mean? They didn't have much. They didn't have much. You see how we miss all this in the fanciness of Christmas, not recognizing this great event is really important for us to understand? The third ritual was the presentation of Jesus. Purification. Now the presentation of Jesus at the temple. They were supposed to dedicate him to the Lord. Now, we're jumping more forward now, almost 2 years, where these kings come to Jerusalem. Now the question is, was Jesus in Bethlehem or was he back in Nazareth? But here, it doesn't matter. We're not going to go through that. Jesus was now just under 2 years, and the Magi, the so-called three kings, arrive in Jerusalem. He's not there, but they want to give him gifts. But during this time, Joseph is warned after the kings have met with Herod and asked, who is the king? Where is the king of the Jews born? This crazy man now goes crazier. And what does he do? Tells the kings, if you find him, come back and tell me where he is so that I can go worship him, kind of thing. Oh, you liar, your pants is on fire. He doesn't want to do that because the word king threatens him. So what does he do? He puts an order out to kill all male boys 2 and under. Kill everyone 2 and under. I don't know how many there were. Maybe it was only a few. It doesn't really matter. It's the intent. It's the thought. He's going to kill babies. What kind of a man are you, man? But Joseph is warned. He's got to go to Egypt. His pregnant wife has just come from Nazareth. She's just been through labor. Now the boy is almost 2 years old and he says, honey, we're going on a journey. Oh no, Joseph, where to now? Well, it's not 80 miles. We're going hundreds of miles. We're going to Egypt. So, off they go to Egypt. Let me show you the map again. See number one on top? Nazareth. You see Jerusalem? That's where the temple was. You see Bethlehem, number two. Number three, all the way to Egypt on the left-hand side bottom. And there they stay. They believe it was in Alexandria in Egypt because there was a great Jewish population over there. How did they get there? Most probably from all the gifts that the kings gave to them. They were able to pay their way. And they stayed there until Herod had died. And when Joseph got news, once again, through the angels, he can now return to Nazareth. Why all this information? My time's up. Why all this information? Good question. The reason I presented you the journey tonight is to see how God, and to show you how God is involved in our lives. He cares about us. Not only to show you how God is involved in human lives, but to show you the obedience of two people. If these two people, Joseph and Mary, were not obedient, what would we have? Nothing. You wouldn't even have baby Jesus. And so tonight, the involvement of Christ in the human life, the obedience of two people, and the result of the obedience of these two people, that you and I can appreciate the greatest gift given to mankind, Jesus Christ, named by the angel, so that you and I can have eternal life. That's what it's all about. Because you're going to help me quickly as we come to an end with two more scriptures, and then we'll end with that. Help me with the scripture. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave the precious gift, Jesus, to us, so that whoever will believe in him. But is this outdated? No. This is relevant today. How do I know that? Because I can truly say, joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive a king. Two scriptures, John 1:12. For those of you that would like, you can read it with me. But to as many as he did receive, and welcome him, Jesus, he gave the authority, which is the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. Too many, so you receive the gift. Millions of people don't receive the gift. Millions. What about you? Have you received this gift? How about receiving this gift if you haven't? One more scripture, I'm done. 2 Corinthians 5:17. To show you the result when you take the gift. To show you the importance of receiving this gift. When somebody becomes a Christian, how does he become a Christian? By receiving the gift. He becomes a brand new person where? On the outside. Nope. Where? You're still awake at 7 o'clock. He becomes a brand new person inside. Notice, he's not the same anymore. Why not? That's what it's all about. That's what Christmas is all about. Receiving the gift because it's a life-changing experience. That's what it is. A life-changing experience. I would like us to close our eyes and pray. I'm going to say thank you to the Lord for this gift tonight. Thank you, Father, for presenting to us the immeasurable, priceless gift